نبدأ؟
تفضل إن شاء الله. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Today inshallah we'll be talking about what is happening in some of the Muslim and Arab countries and what the position of a Muslim should be towards these events that are occurring. Now. During these times of fitan that occur, our stance of the Muslim is that we must return to the orders of the of the Kitab and the Sunnah to see what kind of guidance is there for our reaction to these events. And as Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says in the Quran that as the meaning of the ayah that you shall not believe until you return to the hukm of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Deen of the Sharia, and not feel any turning away from it, that you accept it. And that also that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in the hadith that there has not been a prophet that was sent before me except that it was necessary on him that he should tell his ummah, inform them of what is good for them, and also what is, and to warn them from that which is detrimental to them. And that this ummah, the ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had its height, its peak, its greatest status in the beginning, and that it will see very troubled times. It will be very troubled. We'll see some troubles towards the later part of time, towards the later time. Now.
علم مختلف علم مختلف يوفق الباحث على الحقيقة
So again, we must, in these times, we return to the scholars, scholars that are righteous, that are known for their good knowledge, their solid knowledge, and that, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the scholars are the inheritors of the Anbiya. And so these are the scholars who were given the correct understanding of the Kitab and Sunnah. So we must return to them and see what their status, what their position is on any events that take place. Now. So what we are seeing here are these huge numbers of people, you know, coming out, and there are actually some things that need to be considered here, some incorrect actions or some things that are against the Sharia that need to be studied, and see how these things can be changed, you know, or whether, you know, these things that they aim to change can happen over overnight. Now. What we are seeing today in terms of the ills of the society, or the ills of the situation where we have the ruler and the ruled, and the sort of the problems that we see, this is kind of like an accumulation of a long period of time. These things didn't happen overnight, and it is an accumulation. In reality, it is due to the fact that the people, the ruled, the rulers and the ruled, the subjects, they have left, you know, the abiding by the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're commanding the good and forbidding the evil, you know, was not established in a correct way over a long period of time. And so these evils perpetuated themselves through all layers of the society to reach this extreme level. And now people are turning and trying to speak out against the evil and forbid the evil, but they're doing so in a way that is also munkar, in a way that is not, you know, in an acceptable way, or a way that would have been, that should have been according to, you know, the correct teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, in a way that if the people had already adopted this and had continued to forbid the evil as they had seen it over the years, then we would not reach this particular situation. Now.
Yeah.
So the actual method that must be adopted to bring about this change should be a method that is according to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, you know, the ends do not justify the means. And so even if we say that the end is noble or is correct, but the means must also follow the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, as Imam Malik said that, you know, this ummah will not be rectified. Nothing will rectify this ummah except that which rectified the previous ummah. And so, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, you know, what can be translated as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change changes the state of a people until they change what is within themselves, within their hearts. And so that change that is the correct way to instill this, or to bring about the required change. Now. Now maybe somebody might ask and say, well, we look at what's happened with these recent events in Tunis and in Egypt, and we say that, it seems like the goals of these have been achieved, and that, you know, now the circumstance is much better. But what we would respond with or ask or counter, you know, as a counterpoint, we would say, well, have these goals truly been achieved? I mean, the ultimate goal is that, you know, the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what is established as the ruling law, and where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So has this been achieved? And we also look at what has happened, even if we say that, okay, the circumstance has become better, but what has been the price that has been paid, or how has this been achieved? And we see that, you know, there were deaths and killing and violence and destruction of property that occurred. And, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, it says that if two Muslims meet, you know, with their swords, and then the killer and the killed are both in the fire. And so the Sahaba, the companions, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, well, yes, the one who has killed, we understand, but how about this one who has been killed, not the killer? And the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying his intention was very careful. His intention was to come and kill his brother as well. And so we see that, you know, the Muslims were killing each other in these circumstances. This was one of the consequences of these events. And so again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wish inshallah that, you know, events do, that the circumstances do become better, and that ultimately, you know, the condition is that, you know, the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be established, and the rule can be with the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we hope for as a result of what has happened in these countries. Now,
لكن
So we were discussing how, you know, how some of these things are instigated, and in many cases it is, you know, sometimes it is these, for example, certain news agencies, or perhaps even certain members of the public who have ulterior motives, maybe driven by outside forces, that have their ultimate goal is to really not bring about change or to improve conditions, but rather to affect the stability of some of these countries. And you know, we have to be aware of this, that sometimes, you know, certain enemies of Islam, they might try and take this as an advantage to cause instability and cause a division amongst the people and amongst the rulers and the ruled, even in countries where perhaps there is, you know, a certain level of freedom. It is true that you know, in many cases these the ruling powers and the ruling establishment, they're not really implementing the true Sharia, but you know, it still, there is a certain level of freedom, a certain level of stability, in that, you know, people are able to practice their deen, practice, you know, the acts of worship without harassment, without danger and instability. And so we have to be aware of this. And we see this actually, that now there are even, you know, certain, again, agencies or certain news channels or certain organizations even pointing to other countries, saying that, well, now it is the turn for such and such country or such and such country where this must also occur, as what has already occurred. And so they even point to countries where there is a level of stability, and perhaps even, and they feel that, well, if we instigate a small group and they go out to the streets or they cause this and that, then they can bring about this change that perhaps most of the people of the country do not want. And so they do not even represent what is the will of the people. But they see that this is a means of creating this instability and allowing, you know, these foreign powers to meddle in the affairs of some of the Muslim countries. And it is true that, you know, al-fitna tu ashaddu min al-qatl, that, you know, this fitna is being caused, is more severe than killing. And so we have to be aware of this, and aware of these forces that may be at play, that may cause instability, further instability in places where, you know, it is already stable, and where people may not be are not asking for this, and it is not the will of the people, but it is kind of being imposed on them through these hidden forces. So this is something that we should be aware of. Now, the Shaykh is advising us that we should, you know, return to the Nusus, the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that deal with these fitna that can occur, and we will mention a few of them as a reminder for himself and for all of us, inshallah. And the first is the Hadith narrated by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said that there will be fitan amongst that will arise amongst you, between your hands and amongst you, like the dark of night, wherein one of you wakes up a mu'min, and then by evening, by nightfall, he becomes kafir, and vice versa. And some of the scholars and Ahlul Salaf, when they translated this, or they interpreted this, they interpreted this as, for example, you know, waking up as a Muslim, meaning that, you know, the blood of his Muslim brother is haram on him, so he knows this. But then by the end of the day, at nightfall, he then makes it halal, that he goes out and spills the blood of his Muslim brother. And turns against them, and so that was their interpretation of that. That, you know, how to wake up as a Muslim and by evening become a kafir, and that then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the advice for this, and he says, so in these times, you know, the one who is sitting, who stays in his place, is better than the one who goes out, and the one who you know, who just stands, or the one who stands up, and the one who stands up is better than the one who walks forth. And the best thing for you to do at this time is to stay at home, you know, stay in your homes, and do not be amongst those. Now. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Is it you know, before the Day of Judgment will be established, you know, there will be a time where the people of Islam, Ahlul Islam, will kill one another, and to the extent that, you know, a man will kill his neighbor, his cousin, or his relatives." And so, you know, the Sahaba, the companions, they were very taken aback by this, and they said, "Oh, Rasulullah, is this possible? How is it that we will be, you know, these people of Islam will kill one another, other Muslims? And how do we do this when we have still, you know, our the people of, you know, of sound reasoning and logic amongst us? You know, how can we do this if we have sound logic and sound thinking and sound reasoning?" And the Prophet ﷺ responded, he said, "No, it will not happen when on sound reasoning and sound logic it will be those who do not have this, who have lost this reasoning and logic and sound mind. And in fact, this is what we see, or we hear sometimes relate to us from people in some of these situations where it's true that the people who do a lot of, who cause a lot of this instability, a lot of them will kill, you know, their fellow Muslims. These are people who are not of sound logic and of sound reasoning or sound mind. You know, there have been stories that have been related to us from people in, for example, one case where, you know, two sons, they gathered, they, you know, decided to conspire to murder their father because he was, related to a certain, you know, political group, Ba'athi. And so he was, they killed him for this. They made his blood halal for this and they killed him. Or in another situation where actually, you know, a son murdered his father. Why? What was his reasoning? It was because his father, you know, worked in the police force. And so he saw that this was, you know, a sufficient reason for him to kill him and spill his blood. And so these are the sort of things that happen when people, you know, indeed lose their logic and their sound, their reasoning in mind, and we see Muslims killing Muslims. Not only that, but we see actually, you know, fathers or sons killing their fathers, and, you know, so as the Prophet warned of that time where Muslims would kill Muslims and a Muslim would kill his neighbor, his cousin, even or his relatives. And so this is what we see happening. Now, so in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ asked one of the companions, you know, how will you be if you know, the killing is so widespread that the stones will be drenched in blood, you know, covered in blood, you know, as meaning that everybody will be killing each other from Ahlul Islam, you know, with this, because of this difference amongst them. And so he responded, O Prophet ﷺ, shall I not, you know, go out and fight. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, that you should, you know, stay at home and do not take part in what is occurring. And so then he asked, well, what if, you know, they enter my home and they enter my house? And so shall I not fight them then? Shall I not draw my sword then and fight then? And the Prophet ﷺ responded to him in the negative, said, no, do not, but rather just, you know, cover your face, you know, cover your head with your dress, and so that, you know, you do not attack them. And if they attack you and if they kill you, then they will, you know, they will take the wizard of the sin for having spilled, you know, Muslim blood. And so this is how, of course, this is a special situation. This is different than the circumstance when just somebody decides to transgress against somebody, and that he this is the case where you must push back that transgressor, or some transgressor decides to, you know, enter somebody's property, enter somebody's house, and try to, you know, willfully, you know, try forcefully impose themselves on him, then he should be turned back. But that is the general case. But this is a special circumstance when people have come out against each other in force due to this division, you know, Muslims against Muslims due to these divisions. And so this is how the Prophet ﷺ, you know, addressed his companion and advised him on how to deal with this type of situation. And we also see, of course, in the case of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, where, you know, Habil was killed by his brother Qabil, and how he did not, you know, in the story, he did not draw, you know, tried to attack him or hurt him. He said, and so he became the accepted one for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his brother, you know, took all the sin for killing his brother. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you see the people, you know, in a situation where their matters have become ambiguous, and they do not hold steadfast to their trust, And he said, well, I said, and then, you know, tied his fingers, held his fingers, knotted his fingers together, kind of crossed them over one another to show that it's kind of, you know, knotted together and the situation is confusing. Then he ordered the companions, he said, then stay at home, you know, and hold your tongue and leave that which you see as munkar, which you do not agree with. Just take with what you know, hold steadfast to what you know, and order yourself and your family. I mean, be responsible for yourself and your family, and leave the public. Do not, you know, follow the public. And so, in fact, that is what we see the wisdom behind this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because indeed, when you go out in these protests, you find that everybody gets excited, and everybody kind of follows the general sentiment. And it becomes kind of like one mass motion, one mass movement, where you cannot, you know, you can't really make your own decisions or justify what is right or what is wrong. And in fact, these protests, from what we understand, is that when they occur, you know, in the West, these protests are a right of the people, whereas when people go out to try and change something that they see that needs to be changed, they are given this means to go out and protest, and they're protected. So they're protected by the security forces, and things are peaceful. Whereas in many of the countries, or in the countries in the Middle East, when the people go out and protest, it is usually going to lead to chaos, because the forces will try to break them up and perhaps attack them, because they do not try and protect them. And so what we see happening is we see violence, and we see you know, police attacking the people, the protesters. And then perhaps, you know, in response with this public, with this sentiment, and with this, you know, this kind of mass thinking and mass emotion, we see response from the people who are going out to protest. We see them responding in the like. So we see violence from their causing as well, or acts of vandalism, or where people might get hurt and children might get hurt. And so, you know, based on this, and based on what we see as a consequence of this, we come to, again, appreciate the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he advised the companion to stay at home, and to be able to be, you know, in charge of himself and his family, and do what is right, what he sees as right for himself and his family. Whereas we're out in the public, it becomes very difficult to do so in these type of situations. Now.
يعني لو قام الناس قد يضرون الدنيا ضرورة ولا يضرون أصلا يعني
الشيخ ممكن تعيد اسم الكتاب والباب لو سمحت، لان الصوت كان صعب شوي. لا اسم الكتاب والباب والحديث مرة بس أخرى لو سمحت. وأنه في البخاري هذا وأنه كتاب؟ لكن اسم الشيخ اللي بوابه في هذا الباب اسمه ما سمعتش. ايوه واسم الشيخ اسم الشيخ يعني الاخ من صنفه اسم المصنف؟ ايوه So the Sheikh was mentioning the hadith that was in one of the books under the bab of the one who is the one who will be safe, the one who is expected to be safe from the fitan, the one who would be expected to be safe from the fitan. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the people are like the camels. So that out of every 100, you will find one that is, you know, that is the strong one, the one that was able to withstand, you know, long journeys, the one that you can depend on, and the others are weak. And so the Prophet ﷺ used this comparison to describe, you know, what was known to the Arabs. The Arabs knew this, you know, that within, you know, a large group of camels, say 100, you knew how to pick one that would be the reliable one, the one that was really worthy and valuable, that would help you in the long journeys, that would carry, you know, a large weight, and the others would not. And so the Shaykh liked how the Muhaddithi picked this hadith in this bab and under this classification, this category, that this is a similitude that the Prophet ﷺ used to describe the characteristics of people. And indeed, this is the one person who would be, who you would depend on, who you would expect to come out safe and sound, to be reasonable, to be logical in these times of fitan. Whereas, you know, when you go out with these huge numbers of people, you know, out of, say, out of the 100 people, so there's the 99 that are not of that, you know, intelligence, not of that sound reasoning and logic, that you cannot depend on to make the right decision. And so This is why you know, this hadith is very appropriate in this matter, and very appropriate in terms of signifying how people have different characteristics, and not everybody is worthy of coming, you know, having that value, having that ability to come out and instigate change or create bring about the positive change. You know, other people, these people may be weak, may be easily influenced, may make bad decisions, may become, you know, overly emotional, and so on and so forth. And so this is why this hadith is very appropriate in this manner. Now, شيخ الصوت أصبح سيء نوعا ما، ممكن أتصل بك مرة أخرى؟ ال ال الصوت أصبح صعب، يعني صعب جدا، وصل لي بصعوبة، فممكن أوضح شوية. لو تفضلت بس تعيد آخر حديث، إني ما سمعته تقريبا. الله يبارك. تحب اتصل؟ ممكن اتصل على البيت؟ تفضل اتصل على رقم البيت. افضل شوية، افضل شوية. نعم. ممكن، خلاص ان شاء الله. خلاص ان شاء الله. سلام. We're just going to pause for a few minutes, inshallah. The sound quality is becoming very poor. It's very hard to listen to the Shaykh, so he's going to charge his cell phone, inshallah. So just if you will give us a few minutes, inshallah. أيوة السلام عليكم. أيوة السلام عليكم. طيب شكرا. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. حياكم الله.
أيوة أفضل كده يا شيخ إن شاء الله، تفضل.
لا إن شاء الله بإذنك. أخي الكريم كان هو ضرب معاه حديث عن قاتلة، الحديث السابق راح متفق عليه.
نعم.
في البخاري، الحديث متفق عليه البخاري.
نعم.
بلغنا حديث من قاتل تحت راية عمية، هنا أليس كذلك؟
أيوة صح نعم.
من قاتل، قال عليه الصلاة والسلام، من قاتل تحت راية عمية يدعو إلى عصبية أي يغضب لعصبية حتى تكتب جاهلية. فالإنسان هنا من يشارك غواء الناس وعامتهم والمنير العامة قد يدعو إلى عصبية، قد يغضب لعصبية يعني بشكل عام
شيخ ايش معنى الجاذرية؟
فكرة الجاذرية يعني كأنها رجل الإسلام ما قتل الله عز وجل، إنما قتل ما قتل الله عز وجل، إنما تنزل ميت الجاذرية عز وجل.
So so another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, you know, about the one who fights under a blind banner. You know, asking, you know, fighting for a certain side or against a certain side, and taking, you know, sides and sort of, you know, being very attached to one or the other. Then, if he, when he's killed, you know, he's killed. It is a death, you know, that is not for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And the implication here is that it is a very bad ending. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to protect us from this, and so this is the outcome for someone who goes out and again fights under this blind banner. The implication here is that it just, you know, taking one side, not necessarily fighting for the truth, but just taking one side and opposing the other side simply because they're of a different opinion or a different, you know, because of some disagreement. And so this is the severe warning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives for that man who fought under this banner and was killed in doing so. Now.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن، إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن، إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن. قال ثلاثا ثم قال ولا من ابتلي فصبر، ولا من ابتلي فصبر فواها. يعني كأول من ذلك الإسلام نسأل الله أن يعني يجنب الفتن مرارا وما غضب. نعم.
And in another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The successful one, the happy one, is the one who stays away from the fitan. The successful happy one is the one who stays away from the fitan. No, the successful happy one is the one who stays away from the fitan. He repeated it three times. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded by saying, and the one who is, that if he's, you know, tested, that he is patient. And he's patient in this face of fitna or severe, you know, testing. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all the fitan, the obvious ones, and the ones that are that lie deep. Now, شيخ ممكن بس تعيد الحديث بسرعة مرة ثانية؟
إن شاء الله إن شاء الله.
طبعا.
يا معشر المهاجرين خمس استريتم بهم وأعوذ بالله أن تدركوهن. لا لم تظهر الفاحشة في قوم قبل حتى يعلنوا بها إلا فشى فيهم الطاعون والأوجاع إلا فشى فيهم الطاعون والأوجاع التي لم تكن مضت في أسلافهم الذين غضبوا ولا ينقص المكيال والميزان إلا تخلوا بالسنين عن الجدد القحط وشدة المعونة ودور السلطان أحدهم إلا تخلوا بالسنين وشدة المعونة ودور السلطان عليهم فلم يمنعوا زكاة أموالهم إلا منعوا قطرة من السماء ولولا البهائم لم ينقوا ولم ينقض الله وهذا رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام ما سلط الله عليهم عدوا من غيرهم فأخذوا بعض ما في أيديهم وما لم تحكم أئمتهم بكتاب الله ويتخيروا منه غير الله وما لم تحكم أئمتهم بكتاب الله ويتخيروا منه غير الله إلا جعل الله بأسهم بينهم إلا جعل الله بأسهم بينهم والرواية الثانية ما نقض قوم العهد قط إلا كان القط بينهم وما ظهر الفاحشة في قوم قط وما ظهر الفاحشة في قوم قط إلا كلف الله عز وجل عليهم الموت
لا بس الرواية الثانية ممكن تعيدها مرة أخرى اللي الرواية الثانية بس
ما نقض قوم العهد قط إلا كان القتل بينهم إلا كان القتل بينهم وما ظهر الفاحشة في قوم القط وما ظهر الفاحشة في قوم القط إلا سلط الله عز وجل عليه منهم إلا سلط الله عز وجل عليه
So the hadith that another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that this is to again just to clarify the point or to stress the point that you know the ill that has that is in our society is that people are upset with and would like to see changed is befalls the people due to their own actions due to their own sins and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the you know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he spoke to the muhajirin he said oh people muhajirin there will be five things five tests that will be tested and I hope that you do not see them that you do not you know witness these and they are number one if the you know the fahisha spreads amongst the people and they talk of it so the shameful evil sins you know spread become widespread and people perpetuate them and speak of them openly then what will be a consequence of this the ta'un you know these diseases and pain will spread through these people such that of the like of which they had not seen before that had not afflicted them before so these new diseases and new ailments will afflict them and secondly when the people start to cheat one another and you know they cheat them in terms of you know not giving them their due rights for example you know in the scale when they cheat the scale and they are not fair in this then they will be afflicted with hunger with lack of you know blessings and provisions and the tyranny of their rulers upon them and also thirdly if when the people do not pay the zakah then they will as a consequence of this they will be prevented the rain they will not have you know rain sent onto them and if had it not been for the animals that graze and animals that need the water they would have been you know completely completely you know deprived of the rain and fourthly if they you know renege on the covenant of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam then they will be you know an enemy will be sent upon them forth against them that will take some of their property And finally, if the rulers do not follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sharia, his rule, and do not choose from what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the consequence of this will be that there will be disagreement or infighting that will happen between the people. And in another narration of the hadith, if the as a consequence of reneging on the pledge or the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the consequence is that killing will be widespread amongst them. It will become something that will be established, and they will kill one another. So killing will be something that will appear within them. And and then finally, also in the second narration, when as a consequence of spreading the evil actions and sins becoming widespread and people speaking of them openly, as a consequence of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon them the death. So that was the that is the hadith. And 1 second, I just lost the sheikh, so I'll call him back inshallah. 1 second. أيوة يا شيخ، تفضل.
أيوة
سامعك، تفضل يا شيخ.
الله
يجزيك خير. الله يبارك. أنت سمعته وانفصلنا بعدين. نعم. تفضل يا شيخ، انقطعنا بس.
أي
نعم. أيوة، سمعنا يا شيخ.
عليكم السلام، نعم، تسمعوني؟
أيوة نعم.
يقول عليه السلام: ما من قوم يعمل فيهم بالمعاصي هم أعز منهم وأبناء، أعز أخذ منهم العزة وعندهم القوة وأمنع
أقوى
أمنع من هؤلاء يعمل فيه من المعاصي لا يكونون أعز ولا يكونون أمنع ولا تكون عندهم قوة فدركات إن كان هناك مرة عزيزه فقط بدي أغيرها فيه إذا مش طرح في لسانه إذا مش طرح في قلبه وكان ذلك فتوقف الإيمان وفي الحديث ما من رجل يكون في قوم يعمل فيه من المعاصي ما من رجل يكون في قوم يعمل فيه من المعاصي يقدرون على أن يغيروا عليه ولا يغيرون إلا أصابهم الله من العقاب قبل أن يموت من رجل يكون في قوم يعمل فيه من المعاصي يقدرون على أن يغيروا عليه ولا يغيرون إلا أصابهم الله من العقاب قبل أن يموت فإذا كان الناس أعز وأمنع يستطيعون التغيير غيرهم لكن ما استطاعوا غيرهم إذا أرادوا أن يغيروا ربما يترفض بالناس يعني أن يستأصلوا أن يقتلوا أن يترتب على ذلك مفسدة أكثر والبيوت الفارغة الحقيقة هي الإنكار المنكر في دوام الحياة هذا واجب علينا الأمر المعروف والنهي عن المنكر دوام الحياة لكن لا يخرج من ثلاث سنين سنوات طويلة ثم يريدون أن ينكروا المنكر أو أن يغيروا قد ينكروا المنكر بمنكر أو أن يغيروا بطريقة غير صحيحة فأيام تتم عن التصرف الثاني في الإشكالات كثيرة وهي الإسلام إلى مجالس الدولية وهي حقيقة إشكالات كثيرة وكثيرة والنقطة الأخرى التي يمكن أن نعيرها وهي من الذي يقتل السماء يعني الغضاء بعد الصلاة بعد الإشكالات المهم أن ينظر من الذي يقتل السماء يعني ما يسعى هذه الحكومة تلعب فتمثل السماء بالوقت اللي راح منه يقدم المقدم لكن يقتل السماء بعد ذلك الناس
So we want to emphasize, you know, what are the conditions for one who is requested or one who is, you know, obligated to ask for change or to instigate change or cause change when change is needed. It is not everybody. There are two conditions, you know. One is that they have, you know, this izzah, this self-worth and dignity. And secondly is the ability, the actual ability to bring about this change. And we see from, you know, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one hadith where it says that there are, you know, there is a group of people, or there are no people who do sins or who commit sins, and sin spreads amongst them. And there are those who are, you know, more they're dignified and stronger than them, that can, you know, bring about this change, and do not accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends, you know, punishment on them. And there is, you know, of course, you know, the forbidding of the evil. There are different levels of forbidding of the evil. Of course, there is, you know, forbidding it with the hand, and if one is not able to, then with the tongue, and if one is not able to, then in the heart. So, you know, there are levels depending upon one's ability and one's powers in bringing about this change and in forbidding this evil. And again, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, you know, there is no man who is within a group of people that commit sin, and that this man is able to, you know, bring about this change, or who has this dignity and power and able to bring about the change, and does not, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts him with punishment, or them with punishment before they die, so in this world. And so it is important to note that these are the preconditions for one to instigate change, or to ask for change to occur. If these conditions are not met, then we see that one who asks for change may actually cause adverse effects, and not bring about the required positive change, but perhaps cause destruction and conditions that bring about further evil and further opportunity for this sin to be perpetuated. And again, we see that, you know, this is something, of course, this forbidding of evil is not something that this should be done as a continuous thing throughout one's life, in all states, in all conditions, in all situations, whenever an evil or sin or is being performed, you know, the one who is able to bring about this change and to forbid it must do it at that time and not wait until it all accumulates. And another point that we wish to illuminate here or stress is that, again, who benefits from what occurs now with this sort of, you know, mass call for change and after such a long time of non-action against evil that was being perpetuated. You know, sometimes there are some hidden forces that take advantage of the situation, and so we see that these goals are not even met. And of course, we can only, you know, judge an action by its consequence. And so, you know, what sort of change actually will come out of these events? Now,
يومين يجب بين هذه الأمور والحياة.
تقضي عن تقليد دولك على دولك، ولا تقضي على قدس ولا بلد على بلد الأمريكي، تختلف في حيثياتها، لكن يعني يدعو للتأكيد لسائرنا إن شاء الله بإذن كل نظهر منها دون وقت. ماذا نريد من خلال يعني نسأل الله أن يستجدنا جميعا ونفقنا في مرات الله عز وجل. كان عند الإخوة أكثر تتعلق بالموضوع
The Sheikh was finally giving some advice for all parties involved, starting with the advice for the rulers, and that they should, you know, work hard to protect their people, you know, the people under their rule, their rights, you know, have a system where they can have this open dialogue and communication to be able to check on the condition and the status of their subjects. You know, what is it that they need? What is it that needs to be addressed? What is it that needs to be, you know, fixed and corrected before things become get out of hand? And also, of course, first and foremost, you know, advice to those who are in power to rule and judge by the you know, the Sharia of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there is, you know, that, and also for the people to be able to respect this and to follow the rulers and to obey them in what within the borders or the boundaries of what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has ordained and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Hadith, he says, "He who aids, you know, the one who is he who aids the Sultan of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, the ruler of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, then Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will help him." So meaning if the ruler is ruling with you know, because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala gives this rule to whomever He pleases, Allah, you know, so if it is within these boundaries, and you know, when the subjects aid the ruler in this rule, then they are, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will help them. And also, you know, we mentioned that it is obviously not easy, but you know, this sort of situation can come about when there's cooperation from all parties, when the rulers you know, cooperate and take the advice and listen to the scholars to ensure that this is the rule is within what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has ordained. And you know, we mentioned the one story where the scholar, you know, during one of the times, the scholar comes to the ruler and he says, you know, we live under your sword, basically the protection of your sword. And the ruler responded by saying, and we live under the sunshine of your knowledge. And so this is the sort of situation that should be implemented, where, you know, it is cooperative between the scholars, between the rulers. Make sure that the rule and the condition of the subjects is attended to, and that the hukm of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is established. And finally, also advice to the scholars, you know, to say the truth, not to try and you know, hide it or try and twist the words for the sake of pleasing one person or for the sake of not upsetting a certain rule and so on and so forth, but rather to stick to the truth and to keep their intentions clear, that they are intentions clean for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. They're saying the word of truth and they're spreading their knowledge so as the hukm of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala can be established, and to provide the true advice to the rulers so that they may rule under the hukm, by the hukm of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And finally, is just a final note of reflection that again, sometimes, you know, the people, they come out and they ask for change, and they see this, you know, that they feel like this has been implemented in some country, and they see that we can maybe copy this model in our country. But of course, every situation is different. It has its different conditions, must be treated differently. And what happens sometimes, as has been seen before actually in our countries, is that sometimes people are almost like fed up with current rule, and they just want it to be overthrown. But then once the following ruler comes and the new, you know, establishment rules the country, that is when they feel regretful and miss the days of the previous rule and the previous rulers and their establishment. And so we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to again protect us from the fitan, from all those that are, you know, clear, and from the hidden fitan, and to make everything safe for all, inshallah. And with this, the Shaykh is concluding, inshallah, and is asking if anybody has any questions regarding today's lecture and today's subject, please, inshallah. If there are any questions out there, inshallah, let me know and the Sheikh regarding the subject of today's lecture. Are there any questions that we may let the, or shall we, anybody have any questions, inshallah? You can type in the questions if there are any questions, or if you have no questions, inshallah, maybe let me know so we can let the Sheikh know because he's waiting. Okay, so it seems like there are no questions, inshallah, so everything is clear. طيب يا شيخ نعم لا توجد أي أسئلة لا توجد أسئلة ما فيش أسئلة خلاص بارك الله فيك إن شاء الله السلام عليكم
السلام
Oh, is there, I'll just close with the Sheikh. Is there a question? Maybe we can have it for next time. Inshallah, if you can keep the question, maybe we can ask it briefly in the beginning of the next lecture because I just ended with the Sheikh right now. Is that okay? Inshallah. I think I see somebody typed a question, but I don't see the question. So, inshallah, we can keep that question for next week. Maybe we can ask that at the beginning. That concludes today's broadcast and lecture with the Sheikh on the current events in Egypt and Tunisia. SubhanAllahumma bihamdika shalallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.